Good morning.
Good morning.
You ready?
Yes.
Look at me. You ready?
Yes.
I'm going to start by asking a number of questions. What is that? A triangle. What if I feel that's a square? If I feel that's a square, does that make it a square? Huh. What is that? Square. Well, what if I feel that's a circle? If I identify that as a circle, does that make that a circle? Huh. So because I feel that's a circle, that doesn't make it a circle? Wow. What is this? All right. But what if I feel that's a triangle? If I feel that's a triangle, does that make that a triangle because I feel it? Huh. Well, let's try something else. What color is that? Well, what if I feel that's blue? Are you listening? If I feel that's blue, does that make that blue?
No, it's red.
Strike one. What about this? What color is that?
Blue.
But what if I feel that's yellow? If I feel that's yellow, does that make that yellow because I feel that way? Huh. Well, what color is this? Somebody thinks it's yeller, but I don't. But what if I say that's blue? What if I feel that's blue? Listen, because I feel that's blue, does that make that blue? Huh. Listen to me. So my feelings don't change what a triangle is. My feelings don't change what a square is. My feelings don't change what a circle is. My feelings don't change what red is. My feelings don't change what blue is. My feelings don't change what yellow is. Now wait. So the way I feel about those shapes and colors, the way I feel about them, does it change what they are? Now, here's what I'm saying. We now live in a society where we are allowing our feelings to become reality. We are living in a society where we are allowing our feelings to take defined standards and defined properties, and we're allowing our feelings to change these defined properties that all of us have known from the beginning of time. First observation, are feelings a reliable guide? Well, let's take some examples. Are feelings a reliable guide when it comes to possessions? Let's say after service, you lay your cell phone on the pew, and I walk by the pew, and I pick up your cell phone. And I say, well, this feels like it's my cell phone. If I feel like this is my cell phone, does that make it my possession? Well, let's say that you lay your car keys down, and I take up your car keys. And I say, well, these feel like my car keys. And I go out in the parking lot and get in the car and drive off. Well, this feels like my car. Now, because I feel like it's mine, does that make me the owner of it? Okay, so what have we just learned? We have just learned that feelings are not always a reliable guide when it comes to our possessions. Because I feel like something is mine, doesn't make it mine. Well, all right. Are feelings a safe and reliable guide when it comes to income? Tomorrow is June 15th. Now, if you pay taxes quarterly as I do, that means something to you. So what if I write the Internal Revenue Service a letter tomorrow and say, listen, I feel like this last quarter I've only made $50. Does it make any difference to the Internal Revenue Service how I feel? Is it going to make any difference to the Internal Revenue Service what they do to me and what they say to me based on how I feel? So what did we learn? We've learned that feelings are not a safe and reliable guide when it comes to income. Number three, driving. Policeman pulls you over. You're going 65 miles an hour in a 40 mile an hour speed limit. And you look up at the policeman and say, but I don't feel like I was speeding. And so he looks at you and say, well, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that that's how you feel. You can just go right on. Does he care how fast you felt you were going? So then feelings are not a safe and reliable guide when it comes to driving. But I feel like I was driving at so-and-so speed. Because I feel that way doesn't make it so. Number four, identity. Well, where are we going? I'm going to tell you where we're going. You go to the amusement park. And there's the monster roller coaster. And there's a sign there that says you have to be this tall to ride the roller coaster. But you are this tall. But you tell the guy, listen, I feel like I'm this tall. Are you listening? Does how he feels change the reality of who he is? What are you afraid of? You have to be this tall to ride the ride. But he's only this tall. But he feels like he's this tall. But does his feelings change the reality of what he is? No. No. Now let's go through this slowly. In the world in which we live, there are set standards. In the world in which we lived, there are defined property and defined properties. And how we feel about these standards and how we feel about these divine properties do not change them. Everything that we've looked at, shapes, colors, possessions, income, driving, identities, all of the things that we've looked at, we have found out that the way we may feel about all of those things do not make those things what we feel. Is that not true? Triangle, triangle, square, square, circle, circle, red, blue, yellow. Everything we've looked at, we have learned that just because we feel a certain way about them, that doesn't make them that way, and our feelings don't change them. So let me ask you, all of this, how does all of this not apply when it comes to determining what a male and a female is? Listen. If I feel like a bird, does that make me a bird? Well, I'm going to get up on the roof and fly off. Only once. I'm not a bird. I'm not ever going to be a bird. If I feel like a dog, does that make me a dog? I'm not a dog. Bless God, I'm a fox. If I feel like a butterfly, does that make me a butterfly? Now, I want you to listen carefully because I'm about to show you why this point is credible. But listen to me carefully. Listen. It doesn't feel, my feelings about it doesn't matter. And this is what I mean. My feelings do not change what I am or who I am. Now, why? Why? Here is why. Because we don't base reality on our feelings. We don't base reality on our feelings. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're now going to take Bible in hand, because that's what we do here. And we're going to make some observations here in life and with the Bible. Now let's make an observation. The nature of feelings. Now we all have feelings. We all have feelings about a lot of things. But what is the nature of feelings in general? Well, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. The nature of feelings is that feelings can be sincere. Are you listening? Feelings can be sincere. Here's what I mean by that. You can believe something with all your heart. You can feel that it is absolutely right when in reality it's wrong. In Acts 23 and verse 1, Paul talking about his life before he became a Christian, listen to how he explains it. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Paul persecuted Christians. Is that good? Paul went from place to place and arrested them, arrested Christians and put them in chains and brought them back to Jerusalem. Is that good? But he said, when I was doing it, I was completely sincere. He said, when I was persecuting Christians and when I was even leading Christians to their death, he said, listen, I felt as if I was doing the right thing. But that's the nature of feelings. The nature of feelings is that they can be sincere and still be wrong. Well, what else about our feelings, the nature of them? Our feelings can be manipulated. Our feelings can be manipulated. In Genesis 37, Joseph's brothers are jealous of him because of their father Jacob's treatment of Joseph. And he gave Joseph the coat of many colors. So his brothers went out and killed a goat. And they dipped that Joseph's coat of many colors in the blood of that goat. And they took it back to their dad. And they said, oh, look what happened here. He must have been killed by a wild animal. The Bible says that when they told their father that, the Bible says that he ripped off his clothes, he sat in sackcloth and ashes, and it says for a long time he deeply grieved. His feelings were real, but his feelings had been manipulated by his own children. Listen, you think there's people still going around manipulating our feelings? You know there is. You know there is. There are some people, their occupations is to manipulate people and their feelings. That's the nature of feelings. But I'm sincere. But that doesn't always mean you're right. The nature of feelings is that feelings vary from person to person. Listen, again in Genesis 37, Joseph's brothers say, okay, the brothers all get together. Well, we're going to kill Joseph. But all of them didn't agree with that. That wasn't the feeling of all of them. And so Reuben, one of the brothers, steps up and says, no, we're not going to do that. And another brother, Judah, says, no, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. What is the point? The point is that feelings differ from people to people. And what kind of world would we live in if everybody just lived by the reality of their feelings? I'll tell you how, this is what the world would be. You'd call it a triangle, and she'd call it a square, and I'd call it a circle. Feelings differ from person to person. Everybody doesn't feel the same. But if we make feelings our reality, then the whole world is turned upside down because everybody's doing something different, thinking they're doing what's right. Let's look at another observation here. The danger of trusting your feelings. Now, I want you to open your Bible to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. I want to show you something real important here about trusting your feelings. Well, this is how I feel, so I'm just going to go with it. You need to be careful with that. In the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is standing before King Agrippa. Paul is explaining to Agrippa how he used to live before he was a Christian. And then Paul goes on and does what he does many times in the book of Acts in his sermon. Paul tells Agrippa the story of his conversion. In Acts 26, verse 9, Paul says this to Agrippa. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Now watch this. Watch this. Here's the danger of trusting your feelings. Number one, when we trust our feelings, we have a tendency to put our ideas in front of God's ideas. Look what Paul says in verse 9. He says, indeed, I myself thought. What is he saying? He's saying, well, now this is how I felt about the matter. That you get Christians and you put them to death. When we trust our feelings, we end up taking what we think, we end up taking our ideas and putting our ideas over God's ideas. If you read verse 9, 10, and 11, seven times, Paul uses the personal pronoun I. Well, I. Well, I. Well, I. Well, I. Well, what about God? We will always put our ideas above God. Secondly, from the passage, a danger of trusting in our feelings is that we evaluate what others say above what God says. Look at verse 10. Look where Paul says he got his authority. He says, I received authority from the chief priests. Listen to me. When we evaluate what other people are telling us, rather than evaluating what God is telling us, here's the one thing that we always end up doing. We end up doing what our feelings tell us. Look at the passage again. The third danger is that you end up going along with the crowd. Look at the end of verse 10. Paul said, I cast my vote against them. Do you know what he's saying there? We went and arrested these Christians. We brought these Christians in, and then we voted. And Paul says they voted against them. And then Paul said, I cast my vote against them. Why did he cast his vote against them? Because everybody else did. Because everybody else did. Well, I mean, listen, that's what everybody believes now. Well, listen, how can it be wrong? Everybody believes it. That's a good reason it can be wrong. Years ago, I was studying with a woman. She's probably in her early 40s. And she told me she had been a Christian for like 20 years, which meant in her 20s. But she didn't believe in baptism. I said, so can I just show you some verses? And she says, yeah. And she says, I'll write them down. I said, good. So we went to Mark 16:16, where Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And she wrote it down. And we went to Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And she wrote it down. And we went to Acts 22:16, where Saul said, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And she wrote that down. And we went to 1 Peter 3:8, where Peter said, the light figure where baptism now saves you. And she wrote it down. And I'll never, ever forget this. I heard it with my own ears. She says, now, these passages seem to indicate that I'm not saved. Then she said it. She said, but I don't feel like I'm lost. That's how strong our feelings can be. Are our feelings always a safe and reliable source? No. Look at these two thoughts. Two thoughts. Number one, my feelings don't change realities. Now listen to me very carefully. How I feel doesn't change reality. You walk up to an elevator and there's two buttons. There is up and there is down. If you push up, you're gonna go up. If you push down, you're gonna go down. That's the reality of an elevator, and my feelings don't change those realities. My feelings don't change reality. But the second thought here is this. My feelings don't change anything about God. Nothing. Nothing. My feelings don't change anything about God. They don't change anything about God's will. They don't change anything about God's word. And just because everybody's out in the street hooting and hollering about it doesn't change a word of this. Listen carefully. Pilots are trained to never, ever trust their feelings when they're flying through dense clouds. Because in those clouds, many times it feels as if the airplane is climbing. And many times in those clouds, it feels like the plane is descending. The way the pilot survives is that he put his trust in something more reliable than his feelings. He puts his trust in his instruments. Brethren, in life, God's word is our instrument panel. And as we make the journey, and sometimes that journey takes us through those dense clouds of anxiety and dense clouds of heartbreak and dense clouds of I just don't know what to do and I don't know where to go. Listen, when we face that, what we trust is not how we feel. What we trust is what that book says. A triangle is always going to be a triangle. A square is always going to be a square. A circle is always going to be a circle. A male is always going to be a male. A female is always going to be a female. Red is always going to be red. Blue is always going to be blue. And yellow is always going to be yellow until you put it up there on that screen. Feelings, are they a reliable source to know? No. You see, and we've all done this. It's like Friday. It's Friday, and at the end of the day, you think, man, I've thought all day this was Saturday, right? Well, I've thought all day this was Saturday. Listen. Did that make it Saturday?
No.
It's still Friday. But I felt like, okay, that's how you felt. But feelings don't change reality. This morning, if you're here, and if you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. If you're here and you're away from God, God give you the grace and the mercy to come forward right now as together we stand and as we sing.